Welcome to Authors of the Pacific Northwest, where we connect Pacific Northwest authors with new listeners and provide advice for aspiring authors on the business of writing. I'm your host, Vicki J. Carter. So hi there, listeners. Thank you for coming back to the podcast. And this week I have Ray Rantkin, and I'll probably say her name incorrectly so she can correct us. So Ray, say hello to the listeners.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Hi. So Ray, as we get started and I introduce you to our listeners, first, why don't you start off with telling us what state you live in the Pacific Northwest, and what job do you have outside of being an author? Do you work out from home, outside of home, or you're at home, and what is it?
Okay, so I currently live in Washington State, in Renton, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle. It's actually on the east side. We've been here about 4 years now. Originally I'm from California. Mm-hmm. I have a couple jobs outside of being an author. I have a 20-year career in marketing and graphic design.
Oh, wonderful.
And, so I still do contract work now. And then I actually work at a middle school, working with the ASB students. I'm their bookkeeper, and I do some one-on-one with them, and work with the assistant principals at a middle school in Renton.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that explains why I felt like when I first saw your cover design and your website, very well done, because you have the graphic design background. So I noticed that right off the bat.
I do all that.
So tell us what you've published. What's the titles?
So I have two children's books, children's picture books out right now. The first one is called Cowgirl Lessons, mm-hmm. and it was inspired by my daughter and the very first horse she took lessons on and her writing instructor. And then I just released the 1st of March a book called Beach Day, mm-hmm. which is also inspired by my daughter and our rescue dog that we have a hound dog that we rescued, and the beaches that we like to spend summer times and vacations on.
Awesome. And I was totally drawn to the cowgirl lessons one, because I'm a wished be cowgirl. Grew up wanting to ride horses and got to ride horses a lot, but never really was able to have my own pasture, my own barn. So I thought it was really charming. Do you do your own illustrations as well?
No, I actually found this illustrator. He goes by Jason. Mm-hmm. He is actually from Peru. So I work with him just over my cell phone, and I kind of explain what I want, and he gives me sketches, and then we go from there.
That's super cool. Isn't it cool that we can work with people from all over the world?
Yeah, I love it. It was kind of, when I decided I wanted to do this, it was kind of a hard thing to find an illustrator, and you know, they can be extremely expensive and they can be moderately priced, and yeah. Find someone that worked, and then of course
exactly. So are you self-published? Are you working with an independent publishing company, or are you traditionally published where you went, you know, and sought out publishing with a traditional house?
Well, Vicki, I originally was intending to go traditional. Mm-hmm. I did contact several publishing companies with Cowgirl Lessons, mm-hmm. and nothing came of it. And I was working at the middle school with our dean of students, and he wrote a book, and he needed the layout done. So I started working with him, and I'm like, wow, this is not that difficult. I mean, I could do this. Yeah. And I learned a whole lot about self-publishing in a very short time. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I really can do this on my own. So I am actually completely self-published.
Yay. So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards. You probably didn't know the story of this podcast was in my search of figuring out what I want to do as an author. And so I started to get to know other authors and ask questions, and found out there's a lot of great information, as well as there is listening to authors read is just fabulous for me. So I'm leaning towards self-publishing, and I'm working on my first novel as well. And maybe you can hook us up with your friend that taught you, you know, lead
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
We'll get him
on. Actually, a gentleman I went to high school with, or not high school, sorry, college, Adam Copeland, you've interviewed.
Yeah, he'll be on the podcast. That's right.
So, another author friend that I know.
The world is so amazing. Once you start getting to know somebody, the networks just kind of go. And we'll talk a little bit about networking here in a little bit. So you self-published, and you have your own, you found an illustrator.
Yes.
And so we already covered the cover design process, because I think for self-publishers, the cover design and getting that all figured out is kind of interesting. What did you go through? Did you go through Amazon? What system did you do for self-publishing?
Well, I did a bunch of research when I first got started working with Derek Hines, who is the other author that I know, learning about the different ways to do it, whether through CreateSpace or Ingram Spark, or well, there's tons of different ones. And I spent a lot of time asking questions in some of the Facebook groups for children's authors and publishers. And so what's the best route? And what do you recommend? And what I found was a lot of people said to do a combination of Amazon and CreateSpace, mainly for your Amazon clients and yeah. your Kindle clients, and then do Ingram Spark for your libraries, your schools, your independent bookstores. And one of the things when Derek Hines and he and I were working together to try to market his book, he went into a couple larger bookstores, and they basically said, we can't carry it unless it's in Ingram Spark. So... Oh. So basically I went home and he's like, hey, can you convert this? And I said, sure. And I went and converted it, and voila, now that book's available that people can pick up.
Fantastic. So, well, I'll make sure that link is in our podcast notes as well, because I think you're the first one that has mentioned it in my self-publishing list of people so far. And that's kind of another part of this, is to gather resources for other aspiring authors like myself. You know, they don't have to go looking everywhere. It's kind of there. And that's how we all get started. We ask questions and somebody tells us something great that we didn't know about. So,
well, and people have been extremely friendly in those groups. You know, there's so much information, and you know, I've had some people actually come to me and start asking questions, and I'm like, hey, I'll give you everything I've got, everything I know, because I know how hard it was to get going. And
well, good. Well, I'll be knocking on your door. How do I format this? Help me. So another question I ask all my authors, regardless if they're self-publishing or not, because it's something that is brought up in a lot of discussion forums that I've read or part of discussions with other authors, is agent or not agent, to, you know, seek that agent. And so I'm curious, are you ever considering doing an agent? And if you are moving into traditional publishing, and if so, have you started to do that? What tools have you used? Kind of give us information on that if you have that.
Yeah, well, I actually don't, because I haven't really considered going since the first experience with traditional publishing. I haven't really explored that route.
Yeah.
I actually, right now, since I have the marketing background and I have that graphic design background, I'm not sure I want to relinquish control.
Yeah, exactly. And when you have the skills like you do, I think that's where it would be hard. You know, it'd be like, I know what I'm doing. I don't necessarily need to have a lot of input. So I just find it interesting. It's a question I ask everybody because I'm so new to the journey. I'm not sure where I'll go.
I just published Cowgirl Lessons in November. So it's really, I would say I'm very new at this too, the publishing aspect. So,
yeah.
But it was like one of the advice that someone gave me on the Facebook group was, it's easier to market two books than it is to market one. So I'm like, I can do this. I can write another book. And
Yeah. That's funny, because you're segueing into my next question, marketing. It seems to be the business of marketing for an author is one of the big time consuming parts of it. So what are some other methods that you use or tips that you use? Because you come from a graphic design background, so it's probably pretty easy for you to see how to design things to market. But can you tell some somebody like me that doesn't have that, what's some good tips?
I think some good tips is hire someone who knows graphic design. Mm-hmm. A lot of the create space, they say, hey, you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. But, I have a 20-year career in doing that kind of thing, and I still had trouble getting past their requirements. Mm-hmm. So I think, you can hire someone, and it doesn't have to be a ton of money to do that. Mm-hmm. But hire someone to help you with that portion of it. At least the layout and design. Look at books. Go down, spend hours just poking around the bookstore and look at covers. Mm-hmm. Because I see some really great stuff, and I see some really, it's some canned clip art that they slapped on a cover. But just look at what's selling. Mm-hmm. Look at, how things are laid out. Is it a close picture? Is it a far picture? What does that feel like? And how does that match your story? Mm-hmm. I think that's really a good tip. And I did that. I actually went down and flipped through a bunch of children's books. I looked at children's book covers online. And then I saw something that kind of spoke to me. And then I contacted my illustrator, because I actually, this image, I don't even kind of see it. They won't see it.
Yeah, that's okay. It's her back image to her book.
That back image was really going to be the cover. And then I started laying it out. I'm like, I like the image. I love what it says and what it shows, but it just didn't speak to the cover. Mm-hmm. And so when I went back and started looking at stuff that I really liked, I sent him an image and said, okay, I want something like this. Oh, and nice. Able to produce that.
Yeah. And so for the listeners, Rain was showing me her cover book because we're on camera. And so if you want to see what she's talking about, click on her author link and you can see the images. I believe you have the back and front kind of on her author link. Fabulous cover design. I absolutely love it. So you kind of touched base about some online support groups and forums that you have. Can you elaborate on that for me or for somebody that is aspiring? Kind of, is there some that you want to share with us? And I can find and put in the show notes that are open to other authors. And also tell us kind of why it's important to you to have that kind of a support group.
definitely important to have that support group. There's tons of resources out there. I'm showing you my children's books, but I also have a contemporary fiction novel in various stages of editing. It's mm-hmm. nowhere near ready to go, but to have the people who are willing to read your work, to answer the questions, and it's a give and take thing, because they can say, hey, can you read this? Like a critique group. Critique groups are great. Yeah,
exactly.
I found, for my first book, I found my editor on there's several different Facebook groups, children's publishing. Mm-hmm. There's children's authors and illustrators. If you just go into Facebook and you type that in, several groups pop up, and most of them are open for, you can just join, or you have to join and they approve you to get in.
Exactly.
That's the groups that I went to. I found an editor. I was talking to a lot of people, because there's lots of information about ISBNs and how you should buy your ISBNs. And so I keep asking questions, and those people have been great resources.
Fantastic. Awesome. I love the fact that in the day that we live in now, there's so much available to us right at our fingertips through the internet, through the computer, through Facebook, through all these groups. It's really brought to life my inspiration and encouragement. So I kind of know the answer to the question for these two books that you have, because you mentioned it, but we'll elaborate a little bit on it. What is your inspiration? And more importantly, what keeps you going as an author?
Well, as I mentioned, my inspiration has really been my family. When I'm writing fiction, all my inspiration comes from real life and things that have happened that, I may tweak a little bit, of course, because I'm writing fiction.
Exactly.
but that's really been my inspiration. The cowgirl lessons, I wanted to also give back to the instructor that my daughter had. Mm-hmm. So that was really kind of a impetus for that book. Mm-hmm. I think what keeps me going really is when I'm starting to share this with people, the reaction I'm getting. Mm-hmm. You know, like Cowgirl Lessons has gotten so many different positive reviews out there. A lot of them are on my website. Yeah. I've linked to a lot of them, but yeah. just people, well, for instance, when I first released it, I sent a copy to my mother-in-law and she shared it with a friend of hers. Mm-hmm. And a week or so later, I get a card in the mail and I'm like, what's this? And I open it and it's from this friend of my mother-in-law. And she said, I just had to write you this letter. Reading Cowgirl Lessons has brought back so many memories of my childhood. Did you know I had a horse? And we used to do all this stuff with a horse and do shows and this and that. And I had no idea. But she said it was like reading this book. It was just brought all that back for her. And just those sorts of things really keep me going. And then Beach Days is kind of the same thing. A couple of people have already started reviewing that. And it's the memories of going to the beach and people wanting to get up and go get in their car and drive down to some sand. And that's really been such a nice feeling. And I'm actually writing another horse book right now. It's going to be a Christmas story.
Oh, perfect timing, Christmas and horses and ponies. I ask for a pony every year still. It's kind of the big joke in the house, but I do. So I think it's wonderful that you're touching people. What you're writing on has a chord with people, and you've already started to experience that. That's absolutely fabulous. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Not all of us will have that experience. I think.
Well, you know, it's different when you're writing fiction a little bit. Well, but maybe not, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So this question is one of those stumper ones that tends to kind of throw authors off a little bit. So I'll let you think just a little bit. But before we go into your reading of your book, the part that you want to read, what information would you like new readers or new listeners to the podcast to know about your future work?
So I would say, I'm going to be continuing to write children's books. Mm-hmm. I've got actually, like I mentioned, the Christmas book planned. I have a kind of an outline for a book. We go to this place every summer in the mountains in California above Tahoe. And, you know, it's kind of like Beach Day, but in the mountains. So we do all this stuff. So there will be more adventure and excitement that way. And I would say for readers, be on the lookout for that.
And so are they going to be in the, sorry to interrupt, are they going to be the children's genre?
Will be children's books, yes.
Fantastic.
I do have this kind of weird idea of a graphic novel about a school secretary and all the things that they deal with, because you know, some of the stuff that we do, we're like, no one would ever believe this would happen.
I think you need to do it, because I've worked I'm in higher ed now. I started out in elementary ed, and I did start out as a para ed and a secretary for a while. I know what you're talking about. There's a definite market for it, and the stories would be fabulous, and a graphic novel would be perfect for it.
I think so, because then you can like kind of see it's not children's and obviously not adult, but well, adults probably read it, but you could see like the look on the people's face as this is happening, like,
yeah,
is this really happening?
I know, I love it. Well, I encourage you, yes, do that one. I'll be buying it. So we're going to set the stage for your reading now. So, and after we talk a little bit, I'm going to kind of sit back, be quiet and listen. So let us know kind of, what the title is, and give us some background information that'll help us when we're listening, because it's a little challenging to, listen and not see, somebody reading. So,
So I'm going to read a little bit of Cowgirl Lessons. The story, the images are any which you can see on my website. Kind of a whimsical story. It's about a darling Arabian Welsh pony that my daughter just absolutely fell in love with. But I wanted to present the whole day aspect for her as she's getting ready for her lessons and what it means and the responsibility that they have. So I just figured I'd start from the beginning and just read a little bit. And if you want me to keep going, I can. It doesn't take very long. Children's books are kind of short. The first thing I need is a great pair of jeans. Mama found this pair in a cowgirl magazine. These are the coolest blue britches I ever did own, with a horseshoe on the pocket and tiny rhinestones. From the depths of my closet, I grab a clean shirt, not one that is covered in grimy brown dirt. I pick out my favorite, which is totally cool. It says in bright letters, "Cowgirls rule." I can't find my left boot. It's nowhere to be found. I look under the bed and through my huge laundry mound. Mama finds it real quick. She has eyes like a hawk. I take it from her without as much as a squawk. "Thanks, Mom," I yell as I run down the stairs, grab my hat from the doorknob and shove it down on my hair. Dad's waiting for me outside in his truck. He says if I keep dawdling, I'm pushing my luck. We drive out of town up into the hills where Stagleap Farm lies, quiet and still. The horses are nestled warm under their coats, waiting for someone to bring them some oats. I pick up my helmet from the floor of the truck, tie my hair in a ponytail, kiss Dad for good luck. I race to the red barn, slide the door open wide. I can hardly wait to start my weekly horse ride. Duchess is waiting for me, head out of her stall. She's the sweetest of girls, my favorite of all. She's truly a princess for all to see. Upon her halter hangs a sparkling D. Before we get started, her coat I must groom. I get the curry comb from the tack room. I help Miss Valerie bring out Duchess's tack. Pad and saddle, we get them up on her back. Then it's into the saddle I climb. I turn Duchess to the barrel for my practice time. We trot around the arena, make a wide figure eight, practicing my posting and perfecting our gait. I pause and I listen as Miss Valerie calmly explains. Straight back, heels down, hands calm on the reins. Soon I'll be ready for a regional horse show, but for now I'm content to just take it slow. Before I know it, my lesson time is up. I lead Duchess to the barn for cool down and clean up. I give her a treat and kiss her soft nose. It makes me feel happy way down to my toes. Dad's waiting for me. He's been watching me ride. He says he is happy, his heart full of pride. We head back home, back down from the hill. The sun's going down. All is quiet and still. As soon as I walk through the back kitchen door, Mama fixes a stare I just can't ignore. I'm covered with trail dust from head to my toes. She says not a word. I know just where to go. Into the claw-footed bathtub I roam, soon up to my neck in rose-scented foam. I scrub and I scrub till I'm all squeaky clean. It's the finale, the end of my daily routine. The day is over. Our cowgirl lessons are done. Good night, y'all. It's been really great fun. I've hung up my hat. I'm hitting the hay. For tomorrow brings another cowgirl day. Adios.
Oh, that's absolutely adorable. I wish our listeners could see the pictures too. I'm fortunate enough that I'm seeing them on camera. So it's beautiful, super sweet.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate you coming here, and I wish you the best. And so I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to go to your website, look at the beautiful illustrations, and buy one of her books. And we'll be listening for more to come from you.
Thank you so much. I hope to talk with you again sometime.
Yes, we'll bring you back on when you publish another one.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hoped you loved hearing from the author as much as we did. If you did enjoy the author, make sure you find them on social media. Buy their book and write a review. Are you a published author and would like to be featured on the podcast? Visit us at our website to learn more. You can help support the production of this podcast by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends. And most importantly, become a supporter. Supporters receive monthly bonus podcasts and a newsletter filled with tips from our authors. To find out more how to become a supporter, visit our website. And finally, I hope you always remember to enjoy the journey. Until next week, this is Vicki J. Carter saying goodbye.